What we have read just now is from the book of Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah, which we touch on today, about the new covenant. And now we are dealing with the covenant worker. Who is this covenant worker? If you look at the book of Isaiah, which is a great prophet, in the first 39 chapters, it's all about man's sin, man's disobedience to God. How all sorts of things happening, kings after kings. And it was a terrible time. And suddenly in Isaiah 40, you get a new message. Let me read to you chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Now these are the very words here that suddenly changes the whole book of Isaiah to a different one, to one of comfort, to one of glory. In fact, these were the same verses that were used by Handel in Handel's Messiah. Some people say this is a different person. But could it be the different person? It is God's word put into the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. And in the verses we have read in Isaiah 49, it speaks of the Messiah's mission. I call this the work, the covenant worker. Who is this covenant worker? Who is he? So let us have some time and look at the verses. Now in 49 verses 1 to 6, it's like the Father talking to the Son. It's like we are eavesdropping on the Father speaking to the Son. Wouldn't it be interesting that we were just a fly on the wall and listening to what they are saying? Verse 3 says, of a servant that God was going to use. And many people had many different ideas of who this servant may be. In fact, in commentary, some say it could be Jeremiah, who lived 100 years after Isaiah. Some say it could be King Cyrus of the Persians, who led the Israelites out of captivity. Some say this was a servant who was a personification of the nation of Israel. But we know that the real person, the real servant, is God's Son, Jesus Christ. Says, thou art my Son, thou art my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified. You are the servant of a ministry that had failed. You are the servant whose work will extend to Israel and all the nations of the world. Whom is this reading of Scripture addressed to? It's addressed to you and to me. It says in verse 1, listen. Listen, O isles, unto me. How can you people from afar, from distant lands? Isaiah wrote this to the Israelites, but it is actually to a wider audience. Here he is talking to us. Remember when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary? Gabriel told him that the name of the baby that is born to you will be called Jesus. Jesus means Savior. And that was God's way of letting the world know that this child was his child to save the world from sin. He took on our humanity. to preach to us the kingdom of God. Indeed, when Jesus was on earth, he spoke words of comfort. He preached to us of the kingdom of God. But he also spoke some very powerful words. He chastised the religious leaders of his day. He spoke of corruption and sin. He rebuked them. Remember the paralytic when they lowered him down from the roof. He said, "Your sins are forgiven you. Take up thy mat and walk." And to the criminal who was on the cross with him, he said, "Today thou wilt be with me in paradise." You see, the words of the Savior are like a two-edged sword that pierces the hearts of everyone. It tells us of the truth of the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak to you. The servant of God has spoken words of comfort, words of peace, as well as piercing words, that we may know what is the truth of God. But not everything is cheerful. For God said, "In whom I will display my splendor." God looks on his work and says in verse 4, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength." It must be terrible for Jesus on the last day when he was on earth. The many people who abandoned him. Indeed, as he prayed in John chapter 17, he says, "If it's possible, take this cup from me." How much failure happened when Jesus faced the end of his days. Sometimes that's how we ourselves feel. When we struggle against failure, we find it so difficult to get over it. But you have a Savior who can identify with you. For the Savior went through the same temptation, but he was a man without sin. They persecuted him. They overwhelmed him. But he said, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." When you are in Jesus Christ, you are never a failure. When you are with him, you will enjoy the joy of being with him. For he forgives your sins and he promises to bless you. Your efforts as a Christian life will be an effort of the light of Christ in you. And being a light, that is what the Father is giving to the Son. The Great Commission, it is a light that brings the servant to raise up the oppressed. And he says, "I will be a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest know my salvation unto the ends of the earth." God was never satisfied to just leave it to the Israelites. His promise was not only to Abraham and his people, but to all the world, to the Gentiles. Paul in Ephesians repeats again and again, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You see, the servant of God was thinking of you and thinking of me when he gave the command, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you." He's thinking of us now. He's directing us to reach out to the world around us. He's sending the Holy Spirit into each one of us. For it is God's plan that others should come to a saving knowledge of Him. The servant here, as is described here, is a future figure. But he is a figure of the present, for he stands among us. The task of the Savior, of the servant, can be considered into the various ways. First of all, he, in verse 6a, the servant, the coming of the Messiah, is a light to the Gentiles, in verse 6. And he says, it's a light that that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. And I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. That is the first work of the covenant worker. We are driven to God because God is light. He is salvation. He is covenant to each one of us. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he says, "I have heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold now the acceptable time. Behold now the day of salvation." This is what it is all about. That this will be predicted as a servant of God. He is the covenant for each one of us. And the purpose of the worker, as in verse 8, is to help, to preserve, and to give a covenant to the people. Verse 8 says, "In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. I will preserve thee, and give thee a covenant of the people, and to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages." This is what it's all about, that the servant worker will come among us to help and preserve and give it a covenant. The Lord has called the servant worker to righteousness and will hold his hand and give him a light to the people and a light to the Gentiles. Isaiah 42:6. And as we have read earlier on, Jeremiah 31:31-34, this is again the purpose of the worker. "Behold, the days come, say the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. And that day I will take them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. And though I was a husband unto them, said the Lord, and this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. And after these days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. You see, what has happened is that the old Israel had failed to keep the old covenant. The old covenant at Mount Sinai. God therefore has promised and instituted a new and better covenant in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is what the Lord has said. Behold, the days come. The promise is of a future. Secondly, he stresses that the covenant, new covenant, will not be like the old covenant that the people broke. The new covenant is what is foretold to us and has happened. For the new covenant is new. It puts the law of God in the hearts of all believers. It results in a relationship with God, with knowledge. And this is why the new covenant can happen, because the iniquity and sin of God's people will be forgiven and forgotten once and for all. It is interesting that as we read verse 8, it says it will be a covenant for the people, and it shall go throughout the world. And if you read again in verse 12, Behold, there shall come from far, and lo, these from the earth, north and from the west, and those from the land of Sinim. It means that it will spread throughout the world into the land of Sinim. Now some scholars have suggested that the word Sinim is China. But we can safely say that verse 12 foresees converts drawn from many distant lands. Perhaps Sinim is a notable example. For the word Sinim in Greek means sinologist. But I think it covers a wider world than that. See, the role of the servant of God is pivotal. The servant's great task is to make it possible for all people to come to God. God has chosen the servant, the covenant worker, to work with the people. This prophecy is so wide-ranging. It is for the return of the exiles to come back to God. It's a redemption. And it's a promise for the fulfillment of their journey back to God. So what should our response be to this fulfillment of God's covenant? Our response is to, on behalf of God's people, is the fulfillment of his message of redemption. So it is here that, as I said, the purpose of the worker, first of all, is to help, to preserve, to establish a covenant to the people. God will enable this to happen when he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. He is the embodiment of God's covenant with each one of us. And this embodiment of the servant will do several things. He will restore the land And he will go forth and identify with each and every one. He will set free the people from the bondage of the law. And this freedom changes people's spiritual lives. They are freed from sin, and those in the darkness or ignorance will come to light. It is by the word of the servant, the mighty word of the Son of God, that brings light to the world. To establish again on the earth the word of God. And here in verse 9 it says, to feed in the ways. Verse 9, it says, that thou mayest say to the people, go forth to them that are in the darkness, show yourselves, they shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in high places. And this pasture is very much akin to the work of the Lord, for we are sheep that have gone astray. These are images for us to remember. It is like Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is what is prophesied here, that they shall feed their ways, the image of a shepherd leading the sheep to green pastures. For whoever God leads will take care of them. They will want nothing. So the will of God is that they will not thirst nor hunger. As Jesus said to the woman of the well, the water that I give you, you shall not thirst. So it is that he will protect us. And this promise of God has been consummated in the very presence, in the very coming of the Son of God. And he will establish the earth, and he will feed in their ways. And I will make my mountains a road, and my highways will be raised up, and all the world will be his. You see, the Christian cause is a difficult one. Sometimes it can be insurmountable. Just like the Israelites had to go through the Red Sea, it seemed impossible. But highways and byways are the Lord's, and he will sustain us as we go through life, facing highways and byways. It says, behold, they shall come from afar, and lo, those who will come from the north and from the west, and those from the land of Sinim. And here is what is so important, that the wonders of the covenant is being revealed in the prophecy of the prophet. And this is in Isaiah 44:23. Let me read to you Isaiah 44:23. And it says, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For the Lord had redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. And in chapter 40, verse 1, he says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And in 49:10, he says, they shall not hunger, nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite thee. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. This is the wonder of the covenant, of the new covenant, as revealed in Jesus Christ. And in verse 13, let me read to you, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and bring forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted." This is the wonder of the covenant of God, the new covenant, as predicted, as foretold by Isaiah the prophet. He did not see it, but we in our time have experienced the joy of knowing the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ. We have lived with him. We have been through with him the experience of his suffering on the cross, for we are one in him. This book of Isaiah rings with the certainty of God's triumph. This triumph is for the sake of his redeemed covenant people. We are the redeemed covenant people, for we have accepted our Savior Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So he leads the covenant people through all circumstances, through all difficulties, and through all troubles. We leave behind us the bondage, the darkness of sin, and we live with the Lord in eternity, in a promise of the world to come. He promises each one of us provisions and protection. In my Father's house are many mansions. If not so, I would have told you. Who will be the followers of Jesus Christ? Who will be his disciples? Praise the Lord that we have the wonder of this new covenant, of this new everlasting covenant. In the work and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth and in his resurrection, we have life everlasting. Amen.